Pied Piper of Hamelin. Nalbina Reynolds version.
Do you want to do a short one first and then we'll test back? Let me see how it sounds.
Pied Piper of Hamelin. Rat, rat, everywhere, in the kitchen and down the stairs, rocking babies in their cradles, tasting soup in the cook's soup ladles, eating flour from every bin, raising the devil in Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. Rat, rat, everywhere, wherever you look, the rats were there. Took a nap in Papa's shoes, sat in the living room and read the news. What a condition that town was in, little old town of Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. Mayor and council scratched their heads, tossed and turned in their ratty beds, passed a big appropriation to count the rats in the population, thoroughly resolved that it was a sin for rats to live in Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. A little man knocked at the mayor's door, no one had ever seen him before. Dressed in clothes of a gayer mood than ever I seen in Hollywood. If the mayor will let me in, I'll drive the rats from Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. They hugged him, kissed him, patted his head. What is your name? The mayor said. My name is Goodman, I blow this horn, and there never was a rat that ever was born could resist my merry din, not even the rats of Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. Oh, blow your horn, both far and wide, and save our cities, the mayor cried. Whatever you we will gladly pay if you'll only get these rats away. Couple of grand you will surely win. Drive the rats from Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, a long time ago. A tweedledee and a fooledo, a little tune he started to blow. Sounded like bacon, it sounded like cheese. Sound like kitcheny melodies. The rats ran out with a snicker and a grin. The Lord Isles of Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. They followed the music sweet and gay over the hills and far away. The Hamelinians loudly cheered as the rat procession disappeared. Never a rat was seen again in the little old town of Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. The piper waited, hat in hand, to collect his fee for a couple of grand. Mayor and council scratched their pates. This is way above union rates for a tune on the flute or the violin. We only pay scale in Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. Mr. Goodman said okay, put on his hat and turned away. Started playing a couple of tunes, sounded like candy and toy balloons, like merry-go-rounds in the jolly spin, calling the children of Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. Children came out into the street, followed the piper with dancing feet, followed the music bright and gay, over the hills and far away. Town got quiet like it never had been. No more kids in Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany, long time ago. In some country far away, a bunch of hepcats swing and sway, and a gaudy piper, old and gray, plays on his clarinet night and day, while way back home their sorrowing kin mourn for the children of Hamelin, Hamelin, Germany. My grandma told me so a long, long time ago. Morning town ride. Train whistle blowing makes a sleepy lot. Underneath their blankets go all the girls and boys. And the hills of hay. In land of honky, conky, oh, across the hills of hay, there lives a brace of foolish folk, however they got that way. They do the best they can, I guess, with the brains God did bestow. In the house they keep their pigs and sheep when the stormy north winds blow. And I'll never go there, 'cause I don't care to cross the hills of hay. They know no thing of cooking, so they eat their victuals raw. Though the offside of a bucking calf is mighty tough to chaw. But that's the way they did it, or so I've heard folks say, in the land of honky-conky-o, across the hills of hay. And I'll never go there, 'cause I don't care to cross the hills of hay. One day a farmer's house burned down, and that was very sad. It burned his cots, his pans and pots, and everything he had. His pig was burned to a frizzle, and in the cold he lay. Land of honky conky, oh, across the hills of hay. And I'll never go there, 'cause I don't care, across the hills of hay. His little son named Somewhat, he poked among the ruins. And his pa said, you keep out of that, or I'll spank your pantaloons. But pa, this pig tastes very good, they heard the laddie say. In the land of honky-conky-o, across the hills of hay. And I'll never go there, 'cause I don't care to cross the hills of hay. You'll see the fires burning above each little town. Whenever they want to roast a pig, they burn the farmhouse down. And they keep on building houses, 'cause they burn a house a day. In the land of honky-conky-o, across the hills of hay. And I'll never go there, 'cause I don't care to cross the hills of hay. There's plenty of ways to roast a pig, none come any higher. There's better ways to run the world than by setting it all on fire. We'll roast our pig in the oven, lads, and those that holler nay can go to honky-conky-o, across the hills of hay. And I'll never go there, 'cause I don't care to cross the hills. Monaco, Monaco, a delightful place I know. If you want to make a show, Maddie's the Prince of Monaco. We all are happy at the news that they have bought those baby shoes. A girl will fill their hearts with glee and be a tax exemption for the whole country. Monaco, Monaco, a delightful place I know. If you want to make a show, Marie's the Prince of Monaco. It says in Coronet Magazine, June 1956, page 10, that married women are not as happy as women who have no men. Married women are cranky, frustrated, and disgusted, while single women are bright and gay, creative, and well-adjusted. We don't need the men, we don't need the men, we don't need to have 'em round except for now and then. They can come to see us when we need to move the piano. Otherwise they can stay at home and read about the White Sox. We don't care about them, we without them. They'll look cute in a bathing suit on a billboard in Manhattan. We don't need the men. We don't need the men. We don't need to have 'em round except for now and then. They can come to see us if they've got tickets for the symphony. Otherwise they can stay at home and play a game of pinochle. We don't care about them. We can do without them. They look cute in a bathing suit on a billboard in Newfoundland. We don't need the men. We don't need the men. We don't need to have 'em round except for now and then. They can come to see us if they're feeling pleasant and agreeable. Otherwise they can stay at home and holler at the TV programs. We don't care about them. We can do without them. They look cute in a bathing suit on a billboard in Madagascar. We don't need the men. We don't need the men. We don't need to have 'em round except for now and then. They can come to see us if they're all dressed up with a suit on. Otherwise they can stay at home and drop towels in their own bathroom. We don't care about them. We can do without them. They'll look cute in a bathing suit on a billboard in Tierra del Fuego. Love me tender, love me true. Elvis sings to me, and the hinges of my heart to buckle up beneath. Some think that delinquency follows where he sings, but when Elvis sings to me, I hear angel wings. Love me tender, love me tough, true. Love me till I die. But if you pull a knife on me, I'll sock you in the eye. Something Presley influence leads to crime and sin. But when Elvis sings to me, I forget my gin. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Just sit there. Doesn't make any difference what you do anyway. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, is this a philosophy? Que sera, sera. What will be, well, I obeyed my mom's behest, seeing that mother always
mind his own business.
Good care of Glenwood, you know.
You just talk, you don't pay any attention to that.
And I monkey around town all day. I went up to the States trying to get some information, you know, in a roundabout way. And he was a goddamn dominoes will have. And he was in politics. He was running for elections for office that time. So I didn't stay very long up there to talk to him. And I went downtown, I walked into stores and garages and different hardware stores, and I seen some of the lawyers signs around, and I said, how in the hell do all the lawyers in town make a living here? All they said, they put a topic on. We got one crooked son of a bitch here, they said.
Only one?
Yeah. And I said, oh, is that, who is he? I said, oh, it's a Bohemian, it's a Frank Zimmer. And I went to several places and I got the same goddamn answer.
So you thought he might be pretty
but
good.
My God, I thought myself, that's the guy I want to see. I went up to the office and my brother-in-law was along. And my God, he had that the whole wall just with radical books, so it's written IWW and everything else.
He'd been
in
IWW?
Sure. And we sat loudly there for a while, nobody was up there. So he came upstairs, he looked around and said, well, what is it, what's on your mind, fellas? So I explained to him what it was all about and everything. My sister, she had been, had a baby and she got a sick, nervous breakdown, see? And she was in the hospital for about a year and a half, for the 2 years. And my sister's husband, he had a sister living in Glenwood, and she promised to take care of the baby till she got well again, see? Well, it took her 2 years before she got out of the hospital. And then when the 2 years was up, she take the kid with you in the car and come to town. Well, we went off there. And it happened to be milking time in the evening. He was milking cows and she was out with the baby there. She was holding her in her hand. And we drove up there, my sister and her husband. They started talking to her, you know, and they got a kind of an argument about the baby. My brother-in-law offered them $1,500 cash for the care of the kids. They wouldn't listen to them. And they started to holler and cry and argue. So I told them, I said, that's no use to fight about it. I said, we're going back to town. Frank told me what to do. If you don't, he said, you come right back to town. I said, I'm sure about the room. God damn it. Sheriff went out there.
Oh, you didn't take the child then?
No, we couldn't get a hold of her. See, she was hanging on to her, see? And I told her, no use to fight about it. I said, we're going a peaceful way, and if you're satisfied, we'll use the law, that's all. Let's get clear up in there.
Oh, they were a step ahead of you.
Yeah, they skipped clear up in there. Around the...
Out of the state, I suppose.
No, not out of the state. And then the sheriff came back and he told me he had the kid and everything. Everything was okay. We went to the judge.
Well, it must have been... What happened in the labor school, Tomlinson?
Is it Avery Cruz Mathis?
Yeah, very nice. WPA, he used to be in that.
Say, what's a couple of those people that you say that one time we found it? What was their name?
I got it in my address book.
What did they do?
Man and wife.
He shoots in Kenton.
Oh, that wasn't Sonny, was it?
No.
Matthew?
No. But he kind of went anywhere, I guess.
Oh, you know, I don't know.
That was probably told us.
Well, he hears that. He won't listen to us. I've got that 75%.
Yeah, they're all right. That's the same line.
did not have looked at them.
Right there on front of you.
Oh, here?
Right on top of my purse there. Don't get it in the sphere.
Oh, interesting.
God damn, I wish I could get it back. I'll go along with all over my collection.
Go, Brinson?
If I could go along with somebody's tail or somebody, would you subscribe to? I used to know lots of people that were killed here in the Turtle Mountains, all over the south, in Bowman and Hattinger and New England. But God damn, they don't feel like, you know.
Well,
I
heard
that
was easy too.
Cat is not very well. Either, I don't know what's the matter.
Cat,
no, Cat, the one up north here we were talking about.
Cat Barrett, oh, yeah. What the hell is going to happen? All those guys are going away. So no new blood is being born.
Oh, I think so.
Right? Is it?
I think so. They're different.
They come up fast.
They're different ways.
Like your dad and some of those fellas. God damn, nobody takes the place no more.
Oh, I don't know. I think my children are an advance upon all of us. Mm-hmm.
They have a different tactic.
They work, they work differently. They work in the unions and
Yeah, but there's no organizers no more.
Well, I don't know. My daughter organizes the whole thing called,
But outside of that, I mean, there's not much going on, is there?
Yeah, there is. But I I just got about 150 signatures on the Sobel thing in St. Paul from,
What happened to Sobel? Did everything you get out?
Well, his case is coming up now. He's got a new hearing
It's not with L, S.
I was wondering if maybe...
Siegfried, that's the name. Siegfried.
That's his last name?
Siegfried.
Oh, Siegfried. Siegfried? S-E-I-F-S-E-R-T? Oh.
They just become a little frightened. You know, that goddamn Indian Langley, he was going to have to never heard more about two shades of that.
Who?
Langley.
He spoke at the meeting.
Yeah, but he never heard no more. He never heard no more.
No, he didn't, but he never
his union.
F-E-F-R-I-E.
You should record
the FBI just frightened them.
What do you think about the Warren? Isn't it for good justice?
Who?
Warren.
Oh, yes, I think so.
He's the best one.
I think the Supreme Court is doing wonderful things. Yeah. Now, if they take up, this is supposed to come up in the fall, and we're trying to get signatures on an amicus curiae brief. We want to send in from here about 1,000 signatures by the first of the month of the year. They're going to present it September 4th to the Supreme Court.
God damn, there should be somebody who works this stuff down there. There's Mason and different guys now around. Like, we have men and different guys. I don't know, but how the hell can I get it?
My God, Edwin Albert Davis has gone to that.
What do you think about...
I haven't had a chance to read much of it.
What do you think about Jeff Young there from Minnesota? He's for damn good, too.
Well, you know, there's a...
I see his decision the other day here on the case. There's
a lot of middle-class people now that are beginning to feel that they sort of deserted America.
Huh?
There's a lot of middle-class people now, judges and professional
teachers.
They've got to change their heart. How's my headphone?
It says that?
Yeah, 1892.
1892. Was that one of those opening of the lands that took place? You know, I was really surprised when I was looking at Arthur's history at how much that was 1910.
But my folks at home said there in 1892.
and we were 6 miles north of Manford and 9 miles east of Harvey. And there was only about three neighbors around. There were my folks. My folks had a sod house there. You know. Born in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin. My mother was born in Norway.
Was he Norwegian too?
My dad was half Norwegian and German.
Oh, both are American. And they had eight children?
Nine. That's why the politicians, you know, in them days. But, you know, he didn't see like we did. I was going from home when I was about 12 years old.
You left home?
Yeah. Well, there was quite a bit of the kids there, and, you know, we didn't have, they didn't have much to do with. My dad had a horse, two horses, he paid $10 for one and $1 for one of them. And there was a walking plow, one cow and some pigs and some chickens. He was worked out around the
world. Oh, yes.
He was fine when he was home. Yeah, well, I worked around the neighborhood. She didn't give him too much, $15 a month. 10, 11 at night. Yeah, they didn't give him much.
Take a child, I read several
ships. Around home, working till I was about 14, 15 years old, but around neighbors around there. But some of those neighbors, you know, there were some awful religious, crazy people. And they kept you busy all week long. On Sundays, they gave you all the odd jobs to do while they were in the church, you know. They didn't think about you. No, no. My dad didn't care much for any religion. My mother, you know, she was born in Norman. She had the whole idea, but she was not crazy about it. No, she never. And I went to the preachers, I was confirmed, you know. I argued with the preacher, you know.
Bobby confirmed you.
Yeah. You know, he was an old fella. He homesteaded about 2 miles from home. And he was a great guy. You know, he was on earth. He was in the skies all the time. His name was Reverend Lee. And he was shooting prayer chickens and fishing in the Resign River. And in the fall, when there was geese, you know, coming across, he was laying out in the field shooting geese. One time it was, they had a church, you know, a schoolhouse. They had church service in the schoolhouse a half mile from home. And there was people all around there waiting for the priest to come. He never showed up till way in the afternoon. And he forgot about Sunday. He was shooting geese all the time. He never thought about Sunday or anything else. I used to go down the shack, you know, and he fried fish or fried chickens, and he talked about nature. He didn't talk about all the things up in the skies. He was on earth more than in the skies.
He was a Lutheran?
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
That's the only priest I ever believed in. And then when he was confirmed, you know, he was 26 of us there. And, you know, he asked me about we should live up to the Ten Commandments, you know. And I told him, I said, how can anybody promise to live up to the Ten Commandments? I said, you either have to lie to you or to God, which is the biggest sin, to lie to you or to God. I said, you can't live up to them Ten Commandments. Because it's everyone. If I was in the business here, I was in store business, and I was selling prunes for 10 cents a pound, and you were selling for 9 cents, how in the world could I? I had to lie, didn't I, that my prunes were better than yours? And all kinds of arguments like that. Well,
yes.
Yeah.
When I started packing,
I stuck away and I can't find you. Oh, my
God. I
stuck away someplace. No, I don't have unpacked
everything. Mm. I wonder if I'll ever get moved out of my house.
Well, I'm afraid the water on the side doesn't fall.
Idaho and Washington in 1936 and 4, 3, 4, something like that.
Oh, it's kind of nice.
Not Joe Hill, but...
Did you save those letters and things?
Well, I got some picture of Frank Little, and I got the letter from Charlie Heck. I don't know if you ever knew Charlie Heck.
No.
Did you know Charlie?
I didn't know him. I've heard of him. I feel like I know him.
There's a lot of those fellows. Jesus Christ, you know. I just have laughs and cars.
They didn't just leave, you know, take them out, show them somebody, and then they'll pick up the milk and can't find them again.
Yeah, that's...
Montreal County, in Cooley, North Dakota, 7 miles southwest of Cooley. Cooley.
Where is that? In the western part of the state?
Yeah,
it's Montreal. No,
north of Stanley. About 45 miles.
I don't know that country, you know.
You haven't been to Stanley?
I don't know. Where is it? No, west of Minot is a complete blank to me.
Oh?
My
God.
No, my dad was one of the homesteaders up there in early days before there was... All there was in Minot at the time was a little state star paper shack. So he was one of the early...
Where did he come from?
Came from Wright County in Faribault, Minnesota.
Oh. A lot of them came on those opening of the homesteads.
That was the end of the railroad then, Minot. And he got that far. And then they had to go from there with the ox team.
Is that a wheat country out there?
Yeah, it was wonderful country in them days.
Is it a plain, is it a treeless plain?
It's all prairie.
Rolling.
And you know when you get past what they call the last bench, that's the bench that follows around by Stanley and Powermore and Powers Lake and up in there. That's awful high.
What do you call a bench?
Bench? Well, there's
elevation,
steps in the elevation.
Oh, I know.
Then it comes off in a plain, and then there's a drop, and then there's another little plain, and then another valley or something.
Oh.
And they start at the bottom, see, and it's the first bench, second bench, and third. We were up on the third bench.
I never
heard bench, and then we were surrounded.
The
farm was there? Well, it was quite a place, 10 miles long and wide, do you understand? It's rolling, gentle rolling country. It was wonderful.
But it's just on the top of this bench, I suppose you would call it.
My dad homesteaded there in 1928, so he had so much mortgage on it, you know, that he just lost.
He get under that box and that was a blue way.
And then we moved into town and he had $64.
Oh,
and after farming all those years. Well, there was only, there were six of us left.
After farming all those
years? Yeah, there was about, 16 years. And then he went to work in WPA, and WPA days, and worked out in darn near process, and worked with farmers.
Oh, that must have been terrible.
After being one of the biggest farmers in the community.
That's cool.
He was a good farmer.
He lost in 28 before the big fire.
Yeah, well, it was coming then, you know. And, of course, the last few years, we just worked for the mortgages, you know. They loaned me money to put in the crop, and then they'd just haul the crop off in the fall. We were destitute as ever. Just worked the summer. Then we moved into Cooley, and that was just a little pit squeak, you know.
Maybe keep that on the way.
Wasn't too much there. There was no opportunity for jobs or anything. Of course, them days if a girl went away from home to work, you know, she was going to go back.
Say, did I ever give you one of these here?
How old were you when you left?
When I left home?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was 17 when we moved in town, and then I started working out around the odd jobs.
Did I ever give you that?
Is that where you...
Yeah, when Tom was in jail.
Did you meet him there?
No, I met him
organizing outside town. Oh. That's when Tom was in jail in Jackson, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
That bastard would collect the money for him to get him out of jail.
Oh, what was
that? Yes, the letter from the unemployed council. I didn't know I had all that stuff.
Oh, these are priceless, absolutely.
We used to call attention.
Well, tell about that strike at the cabin. You know, Mrs. Gassner was saying...
But the strike, you know, they struck there for wages and the boss and the foreman, I had to haul them out of town, you know, so they couldn't do any work there. There was no foreman anymore.
Oh.
They agreed with the strike.
Yeah, I hauled them clear to New Salem, you know. And my God, they would come up there in the morning, nobody there to charge the buses, you know, anything there. So there was no work done, you know. And they had the barbecue up there and fell out here. George Barnum's name was he butchered a steer, you know, they had a barbecue up there. Yeah, I was afraid to work,
What was they striking?
Wages.
Was it WPA?
Yeah,
God damn it. Were they WPA workers?
No, look at
here,
contract.
I just showed that.
Oh, it was contract.
That's about Lemke, the son of a bitch.
McKenzie Company.
Yeah.
Old boss McKenzie.
They won the strike, you know.
What were they striking? How much were they striking
for? Fighting for better wages.
Well, they got 30 cents an hour. What did they...
Well, the rest, I don't remember what it was now. Here's some more resolutions from my brother. It'll take you all day to go through all that stuff if you want to go through. Here's
Harry. Herbert Amster's out of town.
Yeah.
Done. Oh, sent your letter on to Amster.
You
want to
sit over here,
Mary Jo? No, this, I have to sit by the whatchamacallit. Yeah, you know, Drake University pays for some things that they want. You know, you can tell them what you have, you know, like things signed by Ruthenberg, for example. That's a historical thing now. After where it is, so long.
Here's Harold Ickes's address.
Ickes, he was a good old man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are priceless things.
Here. There's lots of them, like Barnum and Walter Bishop and different fellas. Porter Nelson up to Baldwin and all different ones.
Oh, did they?
They were separate, the holiday, but we worked together, you know.
But the farmers did the unemployed councils, too.
Oh, yeah, they had to. Of course, it's really damn right.
Tell about some of those.
Well, yes, exactly where it was, but Garrison, I was at Garrison one time, me and Bernice stopped one foreclosure up there. At Garrison.
You knew?
Bernice.
Oh, you did? Tell about it.
I have the first experience I had.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, you know, I knew a farmer there, and we stopped, he always told me to stop in, you know, I knew him for quite a while. And, so he said, when you're around the country, why don't you stop in here sometime and have dinner with me? So one day we was up around gas selling insurance, and so we drove over there just before dinner. And while we drove in, here comes the sheriff and the credit bureau from Minot and the state attorney from the Annapolis. And they were, had trucks along, you know, and the cowboys around the cattle in the pasture. They were going to clean them up. And so he was out in the field when we come there, and he just come in for dinner. And I asked him, what the hell is going on here?
Hayrack was up in the house.
Hayrack was loading up his furniture, and some kids were rounding up his cattle in the pasture and everything. Well, he said he didn't know what it was. He said he had a mortgage, but he didn't know that he hadn't gotten a notice of any foreclosure or anything. So, I told him, well, don't you know there's no eviction or there's a moratorium on debts, I said. Nobody can foreclose you or throw you out of the house. That's Roosevelt's moratorium. And I said, why in the hell don't the neighbor come over and help you? I said, they can't take your stuff. Well, he didn't know anything about it, so I said, well, I'll go out, see some of the neighbors around there and round them up. And I went out, and there was 300-400 farmers in a little while. And
she got on the phone, he told her to get on the phone and call some of them in another direction, some that didn't have a phone.
I guess 300
is... Oh, I never seen women so mad in my life. They were crazier than men. They would have shot or killed or stuck or
anything. They had to leave every damn thing and leave the place, too.
They left everything and put it back in their place.
They made them put it back, huh?
Yeah, they took the cream separator up and everything else, and we're going to
cream. And in the hay rack, they were ready to roll out with it.
What did the women do?
Oh, they had forks and sticks. Boy, they were right there and shaking their fists at the sheriff and screaming. And boy, I tell you, I never seen them so vicious as they really got. They meant business. Seemed like it was just sort of a spontaneous spirit. When they started, it just drove them.
Yeah.
They thought maybe they'd be next, I guess, but they were going to make the best of it.
Well, yes, you know, there was all over the country, but you see, the credit bureaus and the collecting agents, they were going to bring surprises, you know, and is a victim, you see.
They knew they couldn't do it.
Down here by Linton, they had a sale one day, and the farmers come there and they stopped the sale. The sheriff was there, the state attorney, and they had the big rope hanging up in the barn and the hayloft, and they told the state attorney and the sheriff to better leave because they might use that rope, you know. and they had the farmers had auction sale, and they had all agreed, you know, to bid so much. And I think it was $15 to bid on the whole goddamn cattle and machinery there, so the farmers...
They had to settle it then.
$15 sale.
Their cars and places, you know, when they came in and all those things. Well, they were just protecting their rights. That's about all.
Around fastening, the same thing. I don't remember if you ever knew Walsh. You see them, he was chairman of the housing association. He was a good one. They stopped several stairs from passing, you know. That's in Wells County.
Mm-hmm. Where is that, up north?
It was evictions, you know. There was an old lady here down on Broad Main Street. She hadn't paid her rent for 3 months, and they were going to throw her out, you know. And one day, I was down in Paz Motel and Joe Towers and Mason. We was down there, and the fella come and said, they threw in old, what in the world was her name? You know?
I can't remember name. She's an old school teacher.
And the sheriff was down there, you know, Fred Anstrom, his brother to Anstrom, you know, Arl Anstrom. Fred was sheriff there, you see, that time. And he had a big wild cowboy hat, kind of a, he wanted to be such a goddamn big shot, dumbbell, that's what I call it. And he was down there on throwing the old lady's stuff out of the house.
Ed Walker's transfer there.
And we went down there, and I told him, I said, what the hell are you doing here, friend? Well, he said, she hasn't paid her rent for 7 months. And Thompson wants her out. And I said, well, I said, don't you know that Roosevelt said there's no eviction under the moratorium? They said, and I said, you better leave the old lady here. I said, you can't throw her out. Well, they had...
wintertime.
Yeah, they had orders from Walker to throw her out, or from Thompson. He was a plumber down there. And so we told him, by God, you put it back in again as fast as you can too, because if not, we'll have several hundred down here in a few minutes. I said, lots of them won't stand for this here business. So they left her there. They didn't take her. The brothers got back in the house and left her there. And in the evening, I was down at Patterson Hotel, and Kelly, he was the sheriff that time. And Anstrom
was deputy then.
Yeah, Anstrom was deputy. And I was sitting in the lobby there on a chair there, and Kelly came on, he went over kind of in the corner there, and he winked at me and told me, well, let me take him over there. And he says, what the hell is going on, Dave? You fellas want to take over the sheriff's office? I said, no. I said, you keep the goddamn office. I don't want to sign him. Well, he said, you fellas running the town. Well, I said, we're not running a goddamn town. I said, we're living up to Roosevelt's moratorium. Moratorium, I said. He says there's no eviction or foreclosure. And what in the hell are you doing with the old lady trying to throw her out? Well, they said, we had orders to do it. And I said, well, don't make this one orders to do that. We leave her alone there.
Didn't you ask Anstrom that time if he had a mother? Would you?
Yeah, I told Fred, I said, if you had a mother, an old mother living there and couldn't pay her rent, would you like to see someone throw her out in the snowstorm, in the snow and rain?
You know, well, struggle of the people, that's all it was.
Yeah.
They had to eat, and they had to have a roof over their head, and they had
here's
other means
the,
of cheering
themselves. Here's my audit reports on the cooperative stores in Wing.
Oh.
I have kept all my reports, you know.
Nowadays, they have better ways of expressing themselves, and they have, if they ever started with TV or something like that and started showing where people were doing this once, and it ever got out to the public, well, they're educating that so much better than they did then. Them days, it was from word of mouth and meetings. You had to come many miles to a meeting. And it was almost impossible under the financial setup. At the
look
time.
At here.
Yeah, I wonder how they got together. Yeah.
Here's a list of the members that was in the store.
Oh.
By God, I don't see many left of them anymore later. List, the whole list here of names. And he was a delegate to Mexico one time as a prize winner in the state for, most covered sell most insurance, you see.
Oh, it's a prize.
And here's a card he sent me from Mexico City, he's reading. I'll work out and then I'll have to easy come to
tell you. Uh-huh. How did you get into the social movement?
Oh, in 1907 I was in Sisson, South Dakota. And there was two cigar makers and the police there, they were belong to the Socialist Party. Here's the great poem.
They belong to the Socialist Party?
Yeah, and they were next door to where I worked. My uncle had drugs to the next door to the cigar shop. I worked with my uncle there.
Oh, you went there and worked. Yeah.
And then next door was then two socialists, you know, Bowers and Sutton.
Oh, excuse me, actually.
And they were giving all... I got the first socialist book I read, too.
What was it?
I'll give it a short to you.
Flinch and traitor sneer, we'll keep the red flag flying here. The worker's flag is deep, it's red, it's shrouded all down martyr dead. And ere their limbs grew stiff and cold, their lifeblood dyed its every pore. Oh, sing that. You will eat by and by in the glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get by in the sky when you die. That's a lie.
In the sky story, I always call that the biggest escape business that the people ever had.
Yeah.
It's an escape from reality.
Certainly is.
After I've gotten out of it, you know, I...
Well, how did you get out of it? That's, what happened?
I didn't really have much of a pounded in me from a kid. And my mother was a fanatically religious. My dad didn't care so much. He really wasn't thinking about it. And you always had to hurry so terrifically out of this Sunday business to get to this church business. Twice a Sunday, 10 miles. And I got sort of fed up.
You had to go 10 miles to and 10 miles back?
Back twice on a Sunday.
Twice?
Yes, two teams to wait out two teams of horses to get to this church on Sunday. Well, I got kind of fed up with it when I got about 14, 15 years old. I started kind of doubting. And I doubted for about 6, 7 years before I really...
All by yourself?
All by myself. Never thinking there was another person in the world that dared to doubt.
Did you think you'd gone to hell?
Huh? Yeah, I was afraid the Lord was going to smite me down any minute.
And then you met Dave, huh?
I met him. When I started reading, I found out something else about it, too.
You had somebody to go to hell with, huh?
Yeah. All right.
You knew Simple, Bowers and Simple and Sisson, didn't you? Sharp? Bowers, you remember Bowers?
Yeah.
He was the cigar maker in Sisson. In 1906 and 1907, 1907, 1908. He was at Robert Webster later and taking pictures for some damn thing.
Seven, eight, nine,
I was in Sisson, you know.
Oh. Well, you were telling how you met these guys next door who were socialists. At Sisson.
Oh, yeah, Bauer and Simple, yeah. I was going to show you the book. Do you know what it is, Barry?
I have Capital.
What was the name of it?
Capital and Labor.
Capital and Labor?
Yeah.
That was the first book you read.
The first social book, Bauer and Simple. I read lots of them. we had the policeman, night policeman, his name was Negley. He was a tall son of a gun way up in the door there. And he was night police. And he was a guitar player, you know. And every time I had 13 blocks to walk from his door to where I stayed, boarding room, you know. I had 13 blocks to walk. And he used to stand in the corner and watch me when I closed up the store. He always wanted me to come in the police station and visit with him, you know, to play me guitar and sing and talk radical stuff. He was radical, you know. My God, he was worse than the cigar makers.
He was?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. He was a real socialist, that fellow. And a hard-boiled one, too.
How do you mean, a hard-boiled?
Well, he was serious, you know. It was no... He meant everything he said, you know.
So you'd stop in the police station?
I had to stop, he would let me go by. I sometimes tried to get around the corner, another block, so he wouldn't see me, but God damn it, he seen me all right. He always wanted me along with him.
Then did he talk to
you? Yes, Jesus Christ, that's all he heard.
And is that why he wanted to convert you?
Oh, no, I suppose he knew I was an easy enemy, I suppose. You know, I was just a kid, you know, God damn it. And he wanted to talk to somebody, and he was a good guy, he was an awful good guy. You better fasten that. Yeah, sure. But my God, man, I spent all my money in books and stuff with them guys.
Did they have meetings?
I didn't have much. Oh yeah, they had meetings. There was pharmacy and everything else out of town. I don't remember some of the farmers. An old fellow came up in the hills, way out in the hills, and I can't remember his name, but he was kind of a horse trading and everything too. I don't know if he ever knew anybody like that.
And he was Eddie.
Huh?
He wasn't Eddie.
Eddie?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
he was one of the early soldiers.
Yeah, there might be. I suppose he was one of them, but I don't remember. He was a member for years. I got membership, God damn it, way many years back. I don't know how many years back. Listen, you know, Debs was there one time. And Carly Thompson from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Gaylord, Winford Gaylord, did you ever hear of him?
Yeah.
He was United States Senator of Wisconsin on the social ticket one time. And this mayor of Milwaukee, what word was his name?
Seidel?
No. No.
Oh.
Say, find that book here.
Bowen.
No.
They all came to
sister. Oh yeah, they went to lecture in there, you know. Carly Thompson, Winfield, Gaylord, and Berger, and Bench.
You know. I said when he sacked the sir that I never heard enough good of him.
I heard about him. I know about the sir, you know, but you see, I was in South Dakota that time. And I was in Fargo 2 years in 5 and 6 in the AC school there. And then I went from there to sit with my uncle. He was a doctor, and he wanted me to come down there. And I worked in drugs for 5 years there.
I've never seen him here, but where? Read the Bible.
I have an Indian Bible here, and dictionary here. I used to talk Indian.
Can you?
I used to, but I forgot it.
You talked to them when they came to the store?
Sure. They come
with all
store.
That Indian stuff you got, those leggings they made.
Yeah,
they
come
down in the trunk. Oh yes.
Taggings and the hat and everything. I used to have rattlesnakes in South Dakota on the homestead. Rattlesnakes, skin them. I made belts out of rattlesnakes. About 40 miles.
Oh, in Meadow?
Yeah, right in South of Meadow, 7 miles. Chance, you know where Chance was?
Yeah.
Mile and a half.
About this year?
1910. Me and 3 other guys, I want to go to school, see. My uncle was a doctor, and he wanted me to go to Norway to be a doctor, see. Go to Norway 2 years in Edinburgh, Scotland. And I was a damn fool, I didn't listen to him, but I was a fool, I didn't, see. My way to Norway and Scotland. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't pay my way here in this country. He wanted me to go to Norway. Mm-hmm. And I thought, the hell with Norway. So I went out to home, so I thought I'd go back to Brookings finish up my school. You know, I had only 6 months left to pass the state board examination.
Oh.
And they could prove up in 14 months, you see, that time.
I mean, did you talk? Go where they lived and talk to him?
Oh, yeah, sure. We had to talk to him.
He had to go out with his doctor? Well,
my uncle was a doctor, and I had to go with him out in the country all the time, 20, 30 miles north of Sisson and east, clear to the Lake Travers and Big Stone, and way up north to the Dakota line there.
Was he a reservation?
Effington, you know where
Effington. Hey, we got a box to walk to the basin, too, you know.
Was he a reservation doctor, or did he...
Well, no, he was... ordinary doctor, but the government hired him for Indian doctor too. Yeah. He come from Norway. He was here 25 years in this country. Some good farmers too, but some of them are good.
Was any of them ever interested in socialism?
Not that I know.
They didn't discuss those things?
No, I don't think so. I never heard of an Indian socialism. Don't blame them for mistrusting the white man. They're the devils.
The old man Sweetcorn that lived out there east of Sisson was killed along by him being run over there.
Say, did you remember those Martin, big champion wrestlers around there, Norwegian guys? Martin, one was Martin Peterson?
Yeah.
You know them guys?
Sure. Well, what the hell old Martin was, the town cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, for many years.
Did you know Nedsley?
I knew of him. I didn't.
He was night police when I was in drugstore. And what year was you there then?
Well, I was there around there from 30 years.
30? Oh,
all
my 32
God.
That's
a long time afterwards. Yeah.
That's a long time after I left her. I left her in 1911.
Well, we still capitalized on the old socialist division there. We had 100 members of the Communist Party.
Yeah, I know there was.
100.
I know there was. Did you find that book, Ben?
No, I went through the whole thing and I can't. It must be down in that box of books down cellar. Where'd they wear these? On the
leggings. They were leggings.
Oh, leggings. They just tied
it
on.
It wore a frayed Macintosh and they put those two strings on.
No, there was really cloth leggings there, but they took it off, you know.
Oh, this is tied in it.
Decoration, that's all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.